And hello to all our listeners who may be celebrating Rosh Hashanah this week. From the bully pulpit, the sacred invocation of family and the values of an institution perhaps most familiar to Americans. Listen.
The family is the cornerstone.
Family and community remain the moral core of our society.
Work to strengthen the family.
The most basic support system.
Parents will stay together.
Family and community.
The values of the child.
Democratic President Lyndon Baines Johnson there, speaking at Howard University's commencement ceremonies in June 1965, jumbled up there with Ronald Reagan, also using those same words two decades later as a Republican president. Heard together, these two leaders sound as though they are speaking about the same things, but of course they are not. The institution of the family may be familiar to most Americans, but it doesn't mean that we are all always on the same page or that the family or that the picture of a family in one person's mind would look anything like the picture of a family in someone else's mind. Robert Self is the author of the fascinating new book, All in the Family, The Realignment of American Democracy Since the 1960s. He's a professor of history at Brown University and joins us from the campus of Brown up there in Rhode Island. Robert Self, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Let's talk about this evolution, because there's some really fascinating history in here. Describe what was in play as what we like to think of as the sexual revolution, the 60s revolution, emerges at the end of the 50s and hits straight through the 60s and begins to see some pushback in the late 60s.
Sure, sure. Just to contextualize those two quotes, and it's wonderful that you started with Johnson and Reagan and that contrast. And the key difference, as many of your listeners will know, between 1965 and 1986 is that Johnson's invocation of the family is explicitly linked to a much broader social commitment in which the government and other institutions play a critical role. And of course, Reagan's invocation of the family in 1986 is equally explicitly linked to a reduction in that larger social commitment. And so what's fascinating for me and what I try to do in the book is essentially talk about how we get from one to the other. And both of those presidents are really speaking directly from the center of the political culture of the era. They're really articulating the basic assumptions of a fairly centrist and well-accepted position at that particular historical moment.
And this is what politicians do all the time. They evoke their position as being the intuitive center that's being assailed by someone on the fringe. You write that Time magazine's January 1970 issue proclaimed middle Americans, the men and women of the year, as the cover piece for that year, because they had figured so prominently as the so-called silent majority of Richard Nixon, the people who held traditional values, who could argue if they would just speak against the Gloria Steinems, the feminists, et cetera, of the world.
That's right. And the silent majority, Nixon's silent majority, is a brilliant kind of populist icon that emerges in the cauldron of that late 60s moment. When it becomes possible for someone like Nixon, who's really in a way kind of following the lead of George Wallace, who had been doing this since the early 60s, sort of a Southern populist version, Nixon and his advisors convert that into a more suburban, sort of more national figure of the beleaguered middle American. What are they beleaguered by? Well, they're beleaguered precisely by all of the challenges that have emerged by that point to the conventional gender, sexual, and familial norms of the 50s and 1960s. And so if we look at the difference, go back to that opening segment, the difference between Johnson in 1965 and Reagan in 86, what comes in between? What comes in between is this enormous assault, even on the basic point of the family that Johnson's making. And the idea that the family invoked in the Great Society and the War on Poverty and that great liberal moment in the 1960s was, to many activists, I would say, on the liberal left, still too wedded to the idea of a male breadwinner, to the idea of, let me just put it straight to you, the heterosexual male breadwinner, right? And as those assaults begin to wear down the image and the image of the family that liberals can evoke, conservatives pick it back up. And they began to add their own political valence to it, just as liberals are really beginning to lose their sort of grasp of that as a political kind of symbol.
The real nuanced piece here, and I wonder if you could explain it to us, is this gender discussion and argument and passionate conflict of beliefs went from being a conflict within each of the parties to being totally associated with one party versus the other. How did that happen?
Right. That's a terrific point, and it's an important piece of the research that I've done here. The gender wars, the sexual wars, as you point out, really start off as not a particularly sharp partisan issue. They're wars between the liberal wing of the conservative wing of the Republican Party, and they're wars between the liberal and left wings of the Democratic Party and the center of that party, represented, I would say, in that speech by Johnson. And what happens is effectively both the left of the Democratic Party and the right of the Republican Party attack that centrist image from very different kinds of points of view and with very different ideas about what ought to be done. And the challenge, I think, I'll start with the challenge on the liberal side, right? The challenge on the liberal side, which I write about a lot. I mean, this is not a story in my view that's just white hats and black hats. That's a good side and a bad side. It's complex and challenging for everyone. So for the liberals, I would say the biggest challenge is once you start to critique that iconic heterosexual male head of household as the symbol of democratic citizenship, what do you put in its place, right? Because we know that on the liberal left there are a kind of multiplicity of different ideas about what families ought to look like, what men and women's roles ought to be in American life and so forth. So it becomes a real challenge.
And for conservatives, the challenge is all about putting that male back in the driver's seat, and it's very much a theme of what's going on between Mitt Romney and Barack Obama right now, even given all of the ambiguity. Robert Self, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Robert Self is the author of All in the Family, The Realignment of American Democracy Since the 1960s. He's a professor of history at Brown University.